We're in the fourth monogram in our series about Christ in John's Gospel, the book of Revelation, seven monikers, seven monograms, seven missives out of Revelation 2 and 3, seven miracles and seven messages. So we're halfway through the monograms now. We're going to be finishing those right before Christmas time. On other occasions, and we've seen these before, Jesus, in effect, sewed onto his cloak, the monograms, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the light of the world, the one and only light of the world. Today, we consider a claim that he made in John chapter 10. There he said, I am the door, and then he said in the same episode, I am the good shepherd. So we're going to cover those together. I am the door, or I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. They are connected. And these two signature statements, there are both profound truths. There are practical truths. They're profound because they reveal a side of the character and the ministry of the Lord Jesus as our Messiah and our King, that teach us that the Almighty, amazing Lord Jesus Christ is both intimate and caring. It's a side that we don't necessarily always explore, do we? He is both intimate and he is caring. They're practical because they speak into our hearts. They encourage us from his example on how we ought to live. So there's going to be walking orders as we go out of here today. Speaking to his followers, Jesus was very, very contemporary. He spoke in language and in styles that they absolutely understood in those days. The shepherd sheep motif that we'll see today was right out of their personal life experience, because in those days, everybody had at least some experience with sheep and shepherds. Everybody had some experience in them. The shepherds were the absolute lowest of the low. They were ceremonially unclean because they're handling animals all the time, but they were essential to the health of the Jewish economy and the Jewish sacrificial system. And sheep. Sheep were the dumbest of the dumb. I mean, dumb. They're really dumb. And they were the most helpless of the helpless critters that were out there. But being sacrificed, these helpless sheep bore the sins of many. They were sin bearers and gave up their lives at the hands of the ones that raised them for payment for their own sins. They clothed the backs of the multitude as their wool was sheared and it was spun and it was woven into fabric. They fed the nation. Sheep did that. The truth that Jesus is communicating and he's talking about in this story, almost in the form of a parable, was easily understood by his flock. It was easily identified with. But those who said no to him, and there were those that were saying no to him, those that said no with a finality that in his deity he fully comprehended, he fully understood, these truths were going to be concealed in wool in this story. So I hope today that they are easy for us to understand. Hope to make them clear for us to understand, to see, to receive, easy for us to take to heart. Because we do have responsibility when we look into God's Word to live out the truths that we see. I hope that they encourage you to live without fear. I hope that you're encouraged to live without fear. Okay, before we look in John chapter 10, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and close our eyes, bow our hearts before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We are glad to be here as a church family. Family and friends gathered in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you would speak to us from your word, the Bible today, the Holy Scriptures that have been preserved for us down through the centuries, right now to this very day, that we might hear from you. So teach us from your word, Spirit of God. We pray in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles, please, if you haven't already, John chapter 10. Beginning in verse 1, we're going to read the whole story here. It's 18 verses long. John chapter 10, 1 through 18, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Verse 7 now. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also," that'd be us, Gentiles, "I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will come become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Lord, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the word, Father. There's a huge amount of truth in those 18 verses, a tremendous amount of truth, and we've got to make sure that we beat the Methodist over to Henry's today. So, we're going to talk about three details about Jesus that stand out in this passage. As the door and the good shepherd, first, Jesus is our point of entry, our protector, and our provider. Okay, now you can dash to Henry's. He is our point of entry, our protector, and our provider. Don't panic if you're riding slow. These will come back again. First, as the door, Jesus is our point of entry. He is our point of entry. The Zondervan commentary author writes this way: "The imagery is based on the concept of the sheep pen. It was usually a rough stone or mud brick structure, only partially roofed, if covered at all, and very often a cave in the hills. It had only one opening through which the sheep could pass when they came in for the night." So, a stone corral, if you will, a stone corral, or a cave, oftentimes a cave. When I think of Christ as our entry point, a couple of words come to my mind: salvation and security. Salvation, that's pretty easy to see. The purpose of the door is to come into the pen. The purpose of the door is to come into the pen. Of course, Jesus is speaking metaphorically here. He doesn't actually have hinges or knobs, or he doesn't have like a latch attached on him someplace. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that God the Father reconciled us to himself through Christ. So Jesus is the entry point. He is the door. He is the door into salvation. John 14:6, Jesus taught that the one and only way of coming to the Father was through Him. He is the door. We go through Him. And remember the old lyric, the old hymn lyric, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and, can you say the next line? And give Him the glory, great things He has done. It's in our Bible, it's in our poetry, it's in the hymns and the songs that we sing. Most importantly of those, it's in our Bible. It's in our Bible. That way we know it's absolutely true. Access to eternity in heaven, aka salvation, is granted solely, only through the risen and real Lord Jesus Christ. He is our point of entry. Notice verse 7, how emphatic Jesus is. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." I am comes at the beginning, very beginning of the phrase. It's there at the front for emphasis. He starts the verse with an expression that is unique in John's gospel. Unique in John's gospel. "Truly, truly, I say to you. It is, in Greek, it is amen, 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 amen. It was a double witness. A double witness, and in the Hebrew culture, truth is established by two witnesses. If you're in court, truth is established by two witnesses. So he bears witness twice here. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you. From the mouth of Jesus himself comes the fact that we either own it or we die without it. He is the point of entry. He is the gate to glory. Jesus is the door of salvation. The second word that stands out is security. Security. When I was a boy, I don't know how many of you had this experience in your own life, but when I was a boy, not many years after I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I had a problem with assurance of my salvation. I wondered about it. It bugged me about it. Was I really saved or was I not? I struggled with it. I remember on more than one occasion, it'd be out of like kids camp, or it'd be in church services, doubting my eternal security. I didn't have confidence in my future, that my future in heaven was really settled. So on different occasions, there, you know, the preacher would say, if anybody here, you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven, put your hand up. And I got to tell you, my hand went in the air multiple times over the course of a few years there. I raised my hand more than one time. I wondered if the transaction of faith that I had made in the spring of 1960, when I was like 10 years before I was born, somewhere in there. That transaction of putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on the couch in the living room with our pastor and my mom sitting in a chair on the other side of the room, if when I put my faith in Him at that time, was it real? And if it was really enough, I didn't get it. I did not understand the keeping grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that I've talked to you about over and over since Mary and I have been here. I had no idea that Jesus is the door, and that because He is the door, my eternity in heaven is absolutely rock solid. Boy, I'm glad I believe that now. I believe that now. If you're not confident of that, let's talk. Let's talk. I'd love to help you get to that place that you're absolutely positive that you're on your way to heaven. I'm sure I'm going, and I feel really great about that. If you're not sure about it, I'd love to have that conversation with you. It's one of my favorite conversations to have. My future in heaven is rock solid, and if your faith is in Jesus, yours is rock solid as well, as long as your faith is in Him. For the people of first century, the idea of security, it was as clear as a bell to them. They got it. They made complete sense out of what Jesus was saying, and here's why. In Bible times, after all the sheep had been counted and brought into the pen for the night, the shepherd became the door. The shepherd became the door. He laid down across the doorway into the corral or the cave, or the opening of the cave. He lay his body down there so that no intruder, man or beast, could enter without his knowledge and without his permission. And the sheep couldn't accidentally amble or stumble or hop over him and get out of the sheepfold accidentally. Only in the morning, when the shepherd got up, stood up, led them out to feed them in the pastures and to water them along the streams, could they exit. Only then, when the shepherd stepped out of the way, or when he led them out. See, once you're inside, Jesus blocks your way out. Once you are in the fold of God, once you're in the family of God, Jesus blocks your way out. Psalm 121:5 says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." Christ is the one who keeps your and my salvation secure. He's not only our point of entry, he also is our point of no exit. Jesus is our point of no exit. Once you've come into the family of God through Christ, there ain't no way you can leave except over his dead body, which ain't going to happen because Jesus is eternally alive. He is the ever-living one. So you're never going to be able to get out. He is the ever-living door. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Second in your outline, as the door and the good shepherd, Jesus is our protector. He is our protector. And as our protector, he is our guardian. As our protector, he is our guardian. The sheep pen was built for the protection of the sheep against thieves and predators. Thieves had no right of access at the gate, so they tried to find other ways of sneaking in, unlawful methods of approach. Thieves and robbers, in verse 8, are different people. Let's see them there. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers," but the sheep did not hear them. Thief is from the Greek word kleptes, from which we get our word kleptomaniac. Barney Fife says kleptomaniac. How many of you have seen that episode? Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm not alone in the world. Yeah, kleptes implies subtlety. It implies trickery, sneakiness. This is like somebody that sneaks into your house when you're not there. They sneak into your house when you're not there. The word robber is different. The word robber is from the Greek word lestes. Lestes. Robber suggests violence and plundering. Violence and plundering. The term was sometimes used of bandits. Those would be home invaders probably today. Home invaders. They're not afraid of you. They carry weapons. The goal of both thieves and robbers is exploitation. Their goal is exploitation. Neither of them cares a whit about the welfare of the sheep. But here's some good news. As your protector, as my protector, as our guardian, Jesus has our best interests at heart all the time. He has our best interests at heart all the time. He not only guards your salvation, but he also protects you against anything and anybody who would harm you and harm his perfect work that is occurring in you. He's carrying out in you. He's not going to let anybody get in the way of that. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? That's praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. Because of Jesus, we can and should live our lives without fear. There's nothing to be afraid of with Jesus as our protector and guardian. No fear, no dread, no apprehension, no anxiety, because Jesus Christ is our guardian. And he also is our caregiver. He's our guardian and our caregiver. In Bible times, shepherd did all their own veterinary work. Some of you do quite a bit of yours. In those days, some of you maybe do all. Anybody here do all your own veterinary work? I didn't think so. Yeah. Those days, if you were a shepherd, you did all of your own vet work. Zondervan again. When the sheep returned to the fold at night after a day of grazing, the shepherd stood in the doorway of the pen and inspected each one as it entered. If a sheep were scratched or wounded by thorns, the shepherd anointed it with oil to facilitate healing. If the sheep were thirsty, he gave them water. Psalm 23, 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Beautiful, beautiful words. Isaiah 61, Messiah is quoted as saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. He's our shepherd. He does all that work in our lives. So when you return from a day filled up with life, especially like negative life, and the injuries living deals out, you can be absolutely sure, having come into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, that as you hold still, he will carefully go over every inch of your heart, your mind, your body, bringing cleansing and healing and thirst quenching through his caring touches of grace. As protector, he's our guardian and caregiver. Third, as the good shepherd, Jesus is our provider. He's our provider. He leads his flock to good pasture. Three verses on this, verse 3, verse 14, 15, are clear. They clear it up for us. Jesus knows the identity of each of his sheep by name. Shepherds named their sheep in these days. And probably a lot of shepherds still do. I'll bet you that they still do. In a sheepfold, there may be more than one flock. You know, there were co-ops, sheep herder co-ops, and they pooled their skills, they pooled their grazing areas, and oftentimes they pooled together in the sheepfold, whether it was in a larger cave or whether it was in a pen that they had built out of mud bricks. They pooled their talents. And so in the flock, in the fold, there may be more than one flock in there, but the shepherd knows which sheep are his, and they know the sound of his voice. He knows his sheep. They know the sound of the voice of his voice. No way they're going to follow the voice of a stranger. And when someone foreign came to them, came close, tried to sneak in, tried to make the sound of their shepherd, you know what they did? They scattered. They scattered. They ran. They got away from the voice of a stranger. You know what? Jesus, your good shepherd, knows your name. He knows your name. I kind of wonder if he has in mind your name that is written down in the book of life. Just thinking about that maybe Friday, Saturday. Maybe it's that name. He knows the real born-again you. He knows you. He knows you by your name. He knows all your identifying marks. He knows all your idiosyncrasies and weirdnesses. And you know you've got them. Deep down, if you are his, you know his voice. If you are the Lord Jesus's, you know his voice. If he is your Savior, you know his voice. You recognize it when he speaks. You sense that it is true. His voice is more familiar to you than any other voice if you are truly his. And even more, Jesus endows you with an eternal identity. He supplies for your every need. Jesus endows you with an eternal identity. He supplies for your every need. In other words, he makes sure that you go to heaven and he meets all of your needs in the meantime. Psalm 23, absolute goal, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the psalmist calls the shepherd by name. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in the midst of wolves, hiding in wait, looking for opportunities to steal, kill, and destroy, for an opportunity to maim the sheep, to wound them. The sheep of the Good Shepherd have all they need. In fact, we have a feast in the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, it's one of my favorite verses, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We count on this. We count on this. It is true about the Lord. So, just how should we respond to a good shepherd who is so strong, so very loving, so very, very, and always good? Dr. Merrill Tenney, one of the wonderful Greek New Testament scholars, said this way, the life of the sheep was dependent on the power and provision of the shepherd. Their recognition of him and his recognition of them established their relationship. Hearing his voice, following his lead, entering the fold through him, and their refusal to follow others was John's picture of belief. John's picture of belief. So are you listening to the voice of Christ? Are you striving to hear from him? Well, I've got to tell you, we all could use some improvement on that, because sometimes we go dead between the ears. We don't listen. Well, we don't actively listen for him. If you want to improve on that, here's how. Some of your take-home assignment today. Spend time reading and learning and memorizing his word, the Bible. Have you heard me say that before? You guess what? It's still true. It still works. Spend time reading, learning, and memorizing his word, the Bible. Second, take time to meditate on the verses as you're reading and memorizing. Take time to meditate on the verses that stand out to you and the attitude and activity changes that he speaks into your heart. So read, learn, memorize his word, the Bible. Camp on the stuff that is standing out to you. Listen for him to speak to you. In other words, sit quietly in his presence and listen. Just get still before the Lord, and you're going to begin to hear him in your heart. You may not hear audible voices. I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice in my life. But sometimes you know deep down inside that it is the Lord speaking to you. Learn to let Jesus speak into your heart all the good that he intends for you to receive, and then pass it along to others. Are you listening to Christ shepherding in your life, or are you following some would-be herder? Jesus says that his sheep follow his leading and his alone. They refuse to follow other. More to go. Practice saying, this is good for you, practice saying and feeling okay about it, I will not do that, say that, or go there. Okay, let's do it together. I'm gonna let you have it here. We'll practice it together, and then you do this. Ready? Here we go. No, I will not do that, say that, or go there. Not going to do that. It's holy refusing. Yeah, there is a holy kind of refusing. Practice refusing to allow all the false shepherds who are trying to draw you away from Jesus, your shepherd. Tell them no. No, I'm not going to do that. Say that, go there. That kind of refusing is good for you. It really is good for you. Okay, finally, notice the three times in this episode, this time verse 11, 14, and 15 again, and out in verse 17, Jesus speaks of laying down his life for the sheep. Here we go, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and they know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Hirelings don't do that. They just will not. They will not lay down their lives for you. They won't. Only Jesus, the true shepherd, can. Only Jesus, the true shepherd, will. Only the one who truly loves you will lay down his life to save you. He will lay down his life to protect you, to provide for all of your needs. He is the only one. Okay, hop with me in your minds over to 1 John 3:16. If you'd like to hear the verse about how I got in real trouble on 7:3:17, I'll tell you right after church. 1 John 3:16 reads like this. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You see the pattern, right? You see it? The reason for Jesus sacrificing his life is for us to experience reconciliation with God and then to live sacrificial, reconciliatory, is that a word? Lives that reconcile sacrificial relationships with other people. He laid down his life for us, and we have the opportunity to do the same. So a couple of take-home questions here. Into whose life are you speaking that they might find the entry point you have found? Into whose life are you speaking that they may find the entry point you have found? If you're not doing that, start doing that. And for whom are you laying down your life so that they may get right with God? Who are you giving your life away to for their eternity? Here's my advice. Start at home and work your way out from there. Start at home and be sure to work your way out from there. All right. Pray with me now. Lord, your Bible is true. It's always true. You speak truth to us. There is so much that we are responsible to you for because of how you tell us to live in your word. Lord, may we live sacrificial lives as our Savior has for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us always. You keep us saved. You provide for all of our needs, even our hurts. Lord, you are working in our lives actively every day, all the time. May we be active, Lord, to pay attention to that and to go from being ministered to ministering to others, to live sacrificial lives as well. And we say it in your name, Jesus. Amen.